How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
What takes you away when you're on the grounds is, God, what a great event. And really start to finish. And in a day and age where I think it's so easy to complain and it's so popular, honestly, to complain and to be a hater, every single year I go, I'm completely blown away at the operation, the logistics of it all. I think it is the best run event in the entire city, whether you are parking in general parking, the ability to have that many people get in and out in a pretty orderly, timely fashion, it's always mind-blowing. And then this year, you factor in the grounds ticket got you free water, or I think it was free Coke products. They had some food options. They had like salads, wraps, burgers, dogs, bratwurst, grab and go. The efficiency of all that, the, you know, you didn't sit there and go, where's the water? In especially considering how hot it was. I'm just always blown away with how great of an event it is. And that doesn't even factor in the smiles on the face of the St. Jude kids that are out there, the smiles on the faces of the kids that are just watching. I'm just always blown away. But I think the real struggle that I have is there's this larger question of, is what's best for Memphis also what's best for the PGA Tour? And it's probably somewhat of an unknowable question, because I think if you're around the country, you sit there and go, well, of course not. Well, that also completely discounts the fact that this is a institution here locally that's always been well supported, regardless of the field size.
Yeah.
And they don't have that many events that are as deeply tied to a community as they are, like the market, you know, if you will. But I do think it's tough when you're sitting there and you're watching what is a quote-unquote playoff event, and clearly the heat is getting to everyone, although there's this weird dynamic going around when you talk about this tournament from outside, from an outsider's perspective. I guess the only place on the planet that is hot in August is Memphis. To be the case.
There's a lot of hot places, and it is hot, a record heat across the United States, but I mean,
places you play a golf tournament are hot.
Channel 3's forecast for yesterday was very hot.
Correct.
I mean, we're talking triple digits.
Aaliyah said at one point
heat index.
The National Weather Service had an alert that popped up like around 3 o'clock that was like, it's hot. And yes, it was hot. My larger point is this has also been a hotter than usual tournament, but it's also hot everywhere that you'd be playing a golf tournament, just about.
If you were doing it right now, yes.
Correct.
I mean, it would be hot.
They're going to go to Atlanta in 2 weeks. Guess what? Going to be hot.
Probably will be hot.
Now, I do think they got a bit of a reprieve. They're going to St. Louis next week, and it looks like St. Louis is not going to have, like, if they would have been at St. Louis this weekend, they would have basically been dealing with similar weather, but there's going to be a bit of a reprieve this weekend, so maybe there won't be as much conversation. But I do think that's kind of the struggle that you have when you're at the event, which you go, you look and you see how much it matters to everyone that is either participating or everyone that is attending. And then you're weighing it with the competition aspect. And this is largely, I would argue, the fault of the PGA Tour, more so than it is anyone that's involved with putting on the tournament. The idea that it's a quote unquote playoff event, like that doesn't pop, if you will. Like, you know, when you're at a high stakes, when you are at a big game and you can feel it, you don't exactly feel the buzz when you're watching this event. And I would argue that's
not, you feel the humidity.
Well, that's not an us problem. I would argue they haven't figured out the playoff.
Well, and they're changing it again though, right?
They're trying.
I mean,
but that would be in 2028. But their changing of the playoff is actually going to be almost minimizing it, where their plan is to basically have one event that encompasses like a stroke play element that then translates into a match play element. But basically, think of it as like one event and then be done. So they're not even trying to tweak the current formula that they have.
Yeah, but they know it doesn't.
It's not popping, yes.
But of course, you can't just label something a playoff and get atmosphere. The problem is golf. So what is a playoff atmosphere like?
Well, the larger problem is in golf, the tour doesn't actually want it to be a quote unquote playoff, because what can happen in golf more so than any sport is your best players are not guaranteed to win. Like, Scotty ends up winning, but this was the only playoff event that Scotty had never won. And this was the course that Scotty had played the most without a win up until yesterday. But like, the larger point is like, you can't guarantee the big names will be there. And so that's obviously a huge part of the business, which is, hey, for 4 days, you can come and watch the world's best. Mm-hmm. That is part of the business of it. So then it kind of ends up becoming a redistribution of money to your best players, which is fine, but then that's not really a playoff. So there's competing interest there. But like, I don't know. That was kind of the other thing that just strikes you is,
well, who did you follow around? Where'd you set up?
So we started off with, we got out there early because Rory was out there early. Caught him at 10. I'd like it to be noted up until the 18th hole when I stopped following him after 17. When I was on the grounds, Rory was 5 under. He was, let's see, 7 over without me. So again, I guess I let him down. Then what we did was we posted up at 14, birdies and bubbles, where the Andrew Michael, like the food stuff is. That's a nice spot. It's shaded. You can watch everybody play a really hard golf hole in 14.
Did y'all eat there? Right?
We did. Split a birdie and then split a John T. Hedge burger. And then Aaliyah got the rosé snow cone. The burger and the chicken sandwich were great. The rosé snow cone did not get the highest of reviews. I did not try it, but I'm reporting from that. Then we went over to the front nine, watched the leaders tee off. Then we picked up Tommy Fleetwood for a little bit, hopped over to the par 3 fourth, watched the last four groups hit their shots into that. Then we went over to 9 to watch the last four groups. We were kind of just like staggering, bouncing around, and then we went back to the back nine for, so you kind of realized like, and you kind of realized it was over with Scotty about the fifth hole. But like, once you started realizing like, all right, he's got a 6-shot lead, my wife was like, let's go get some air conditioning. So we did that. So then we left around, I don't know, 4-ish. And
so how long, that seems like a long day.
9 till 4.
Yeah. A full day.
Correct. Again, I would put my performance in the heat against anyone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, you and I are somewhat unique about it. I know there's a lot of other people in Memphis who share our belief of, you know, of preferring the heat to the cold.
Yes.
And it's like, once it's hot, no matter if it's 103 degrees or 110 degrees.
There comes a point where it's just hot.
It's like, it's hot.
Yeah.
You know, it's hot. And you know, you'll want air conditioning later. You know, you'll be sweating and you know you need to be hydrated, but it's hot. It's summertime.
And they did a great job. There was a concerted effort to have lots of opportunities to go find shade and available. Like, you didn't, it was not like the good old days of, if you spend enough money, you can find shade. They did a great job. It felt like almost every single hole had some form of publicly covered and shaded area where you could grab a seat, sit down and watch. And that was by design.
Yeah. And we, of course, we always, we have our pre-show conversations, map out what we're going to cover today. And you brought up the, just how well run and how like just professional, big time the event feel.
Yes.
And so I would love for you to go into the, like more detail on what you feel like. Why does it feel like or seem like it might be one of the best run events in Memphis?
I think a huge part of it is it doesn't matter if you're sitting in the 18th skybox giving how much money or whether or not you're someone that just bought a day pass and you're picking up water, a hot dog, whatnot. There is an effort to make sure that you're having as good of an experience as possible. There are plenty of people, volunteers out there to help you. Hey, this is what we're looking for. Even from everyone from the, if you're someone like me who can basically map out the entire golf course, know how to get, like,
you're a golf guy. You're
I don't need that. Well, I've also been around Southwind enough. Like, I don't need the help, but if you are someone that,
for help.
Well, it's like, if you're someone that just showed up for the day, you're like, hey, the PGA Tour's here. I know nothing about this place. You can easily get navigated to where you need to go. There's spots to park. They'll drop you off at a very, a great access point. There are always people around to help you get you to where you need to go, even offer suggestions. Very helpful. The amount of, I would argue concessions, everything. Like, it's all just there. Like, it can be as simple as if you want to do the cheap option, that's there for you. If you want to do the higher end stuff, that's there for you. Like, it can be, normally it's like when you're serving that many Masters, it usually winds up feeling hollow.
Right.
This one is more of like, no, they are making sure whatever you're looking for, they can provide it. And then on top of that, it's the experience of, you can just see how much it matters to the people working the tournament. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the people that it's their job to work the tournament. It's the volunteers. Like, you know, I mentioned on the ninth hole, as we watched the leaders come through, there was this just kind of interesting scene in the head of these people that have basically been working the exact same spot together for 5 days. And after the last group comes in, you know, one guy picks up his chair, kind of tips his cap to the rest of them, goes, I'll see you next year. And then kind of in your mind, you're like,
well, one more time, yeah, you'll see him.
Exactly.
Say that next time.
Like, that's the first striking thing is like, yeah, they will see each other next year, but then after that, I don't know. And not that that's like the primary concern, but it's like you can feel how much like pride they're taking in it. And I think that's maybe what displays itself is whether or not it is a tournament official, whether or not it is a volunteer, there is a sense of pride in this event. And I think that is, in the end, it's like, what makes a certain product better than another? It's like, usually it always boils down to this. It's like, somebody cares about it and somebody takes pride in it. And that's why it's like one of the most disheartening things is when you see the family business that gets bought out by the private equity firms, because you realize it's like, that's getting further and further away from the people that it matters to.
Right.
And
the money matters more than
correct. And
like,
I'm not saying like, hey, if you sell out, like, you're evil. Like, I would sell out too. But like, I'm talking about as a consumer. You know what I mean? Like, I dread the day Buc-ee's is eventually going to sell out, whether it be the kids or whoever. Someone's going to sell that thing, and I'm going to dread that day. But as long as it's still being run and owned by the same people, it's like, you know, there's going to be a point of pride. And I think that's in the end what stands out about this event.
And, yeah, I mean, all of it comes together. I'm glad you had a great time. And it obviously was a fantastic weekend. I'm still in my boycott mode, Jeffrey. Like, I'm boycotting everything to do with the tournament. I've already activated it. You know, they're taking the tournament away from us. Well, you know, I'm done. I'm done with the PGA already completely, 100%. Not even going to tune in for a little bit on a Sunday like I used to. Didn't even consider going. Trying to find a different way to donate my money to St. Jude than buying a ticket to the golf tournament. So I'm done with the PGA.
Well, you touch on an interesting thing, because I was also thinking about that. Because obviously a huge part of the PR campaign is the kids of St. Jude.
Yes.
And I guess there's a couple of things that like struck me out there, which is, number one, would no one know what St. Jude is without this golf tournament? Because like, that seems to not be the case. But the other thing that does strike you is there were a lot of opportunities for a lot of kids that probably need a good day they got to have some good days. And, like, the tournament does provide that. And so, like, I don't want to see that go away. But at the same time, like, you're also debating, like, I feel like the group that has taken up the defense of the tournament,
mm-hmm.
like, the number one thing is the kids. And I guess that's kind of where
I go back to how much of your ticket goes to the kids is my question number one.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question because don't hold me to this, whoever's listening. I'm doing this off the dome.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a number floating around last year or last week about the amount of money that's been donated to St. Jude from the golf tournament. And it's something around like $86, $87 million.
Right.
Which is obviously a phenomenal number. But like then I started doing
more
the math.
More than I've given, yes.
Correct. And I start doing the number in my head. It's like, well, I think the stat they used to throw around is, as an organization, they raise $2 million a day. And that's like
St. Jude, yeah.
But like we're kind of setting aside the amazement of St. Jude.
And what they do.
Correct.
Or there's no question about it.
But and like I'm sitting there going like, okay, so basically they've donated what takes St. Jude about a month to raise over the entire
history
of the event. And it's like, I do understand Danny Thomas's impact of when the tournament was back at Colonial and he would bring celebrities in and he brought the president of the United States in who hit apparently a ground ball hole in one on the fifth hole. Like it brought attention to it, but that was like a very different time where it's like it needed the attention. Now it's like, how much attention is there somebody that's unaware of St. Jude that turns on the golf tournament and is like, oh, that's St. Jude.
Oh, you think there's one a year? Maybe? I don't know. Because it's important for St. Jude, right, to be given these platforms so we can have these conversations where, like, well, everybody knows about St. Jude, right? Part of the reason everybody knows is because the more the places that they're at, the more that they're everywhere, right? And so I do think there should be there's an idea of having annual events to elevate St. Jude, but could there be something better? Is a question. I'm curious on what the raising of the money is because sometimes it's like you do, and they're doing great. That we know what the overall money is, but like could there be something that you raise even more money for St. Jude down the line?
I know the St. Jude argument, and I think it's a valid one. Would be like we're not going to turn away attention.
Of course.
Like and
no, it's great. I mean, I guess what you're trying to say, or maybe what we're trying to get to, or maybe. I'll just say, if you're not even saying it, but like, is there somewhat, and this happens if you're fantasy football owners all the time, this happens to people who are fans of their team all the time. You overvalue your players. And I do wonder, do we overvalue the tournament as an entity? Do some people overvalue its impact on St. Jude? Maybe. I don't know. Does this tournament how impactful is it in the long run for the overall operation of St. Jude? Do people overvalue its impact on the Memphis economy? Does it overvalue the impact of Memphis as a major league, big city? Or is it just like the big blow is going to be to the people who like golf and like to go to a golf tournament or just want to work at an event? What is it? Do we overvalue the impact of losing this? St. Jude will continue, and they will continue to raise money, and I think FedEx will continue to advertise with sports, and they will continue to work to elevate St. Jude in different ways. And so does this going away, is it really going to be that impactful overall?
I actually think when you're on the grounds, you come away with the conclusion that it's undervalued locally. And I think about it in these terms. My wife, who had little to no interest in golf mm-hmm. until meeting me. And I wouldn't even say like she's become a golf fan. She's just learned to like consume it, I guess. It's her favorite sporting event. And this is a woman that loves basketball, loves the Grizzlies, but it's like her favorite thing to go to is always this.
Is it because of the social element of a golf tournament?
I don't know, because it's just me and her scrambling around.
It's like
this wasn't us posted up in a tent with, you know, in one of the VIP suites that, you know, hobnobbing. It's not right. That. I think it's the outside. She bought an outfit, you know, bought like a golf out. Like,
it's the closest we can get to having like a Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, like, and it's obviously not to that degree, but there's like it's in the same vein. You know what I mean?
Hey, I gotta have. It's clearly the golf tournament.
There's no question the girls are dressing up.
Yes,
and they're now it's not wear your dress with the hat and whatnot, but it's like
really the clothes. Like as far as even like SEC tailgating experience of the. When the girls dress up for the football games and stuff, so you don't really get that.
And it is like the perfect recreation of exactly what you're talking about there, because it's like the girls getting dressed up and the dudes just trying to figure out like what can I wear that makes me look the least fat, like or just like what am I going to be comfortable in, like you know what I mean?
There's not necessarily a replacement for that.
Correct.
Can we start? Do we need to start dressing up more for Tiger football? But that's just not what the the vibe for Memphis football. Girls do dress. Some guys dress up for the football games, but it's not at all the same of that. You're like that Southern.
It's the event. Like I don't know what we call it.
Southern event. Outdoor. But it's like you think of like it's not like the Kentucky Derby. You're not wearing a fancy hat. It doesn't have a gimmick to it. But you are putting on a dress that you would wear to church, possibly. You could also wear to a sporting event.
It's something
same
you
day.
Would go
You're
buy.
Not wearing that to a Grizzlies game.
It's something you would
it's a
buy.
Totally
an
different outfit for Grizzlies.
Well, it's like when we were talking with Chris last week.
Kind of a fashion expert on this show here today.
Well, like Chris made the point of the difference between football games and basketball games. Like basketball's the night out.
Right.
Whereas the golf tournament does feel like an event, and it's obviously a limited number of days you can go, and so there's that aspect. But the other thing that has stood out to me in the last 5-6 years, because I mean, I have some experience with this golf tournament in some form or fashion almost every year that I've been conscious. Uh-huh. There is a growing, and maybe this is golf, maybe this speaks more to golf. But this isn't just the country club crowd showing up to go to the golf tournament anymore. Like, it is the amount of license plates you see in the parking lot is that that stands out. Kevin, I think I heard 4 or 5 different languages when I was just out on the grounds. Like,
you're not going to get that at the new whatever it's going to be.
I would find that unlikely.
So, like, the downgrade to the minor leagues, like, it would be, and that's what is part of the reason is my pushback is, like, I'm reading coverage, and it's, like, this people just repeating and parroting these PR
talking points,
words and talking points from the PGA, and it's, like,
from the tournament.
Like, if the Grizzlies got downgraded to the G League tomorrow, like, it's not going to be the same vibe in FedEx Forum. For those games.
100%.
And there's not going to be the same demand. Not at all. It's going to look, go to South Haven. You can see what it's like when you have the Stars of Tomorrow playing like at Landry Center. Shout out, Landry Center, great facility, got a great remodel happening down there. And the Hustle,
Hustle
team does a great job.
But this is also the problem when you get downgraded, oftentimes the people that are responsible for the show, they can take that personally. It's like, no, it has nothing to do with that.
It has
like,
nothing to do with
that's the thing is like, the one thing that really stood out yesterday is whether or not this thing gets downgraded is it ain't our fault. And
right, we're doing the best we can. You're saying it seems to be well attended,
so well financed,
yeah,
well run, everything.
It's part of the greed of the PGA, slightly, right?
I would say that's where it starts.
And then
the PGA Tour. Now, I also don't think that they have acted irrationally. I keep coming back to that point. Now,
I mean, they're changing the stuff. I understand. Yeah, I whoever's fault it is, I don't think Bud Adams acted irrationally by bringing the Oilers to Memphis or necessarily the NFL. It was our fault we didn't get the NFL team, right?
Primarily. In the 90s. Now, did Bud Adams have to call us Memphanites? If we would have done our end earlier, we wouldn't have been in the situation.
Right. We wouldn't have been in that situation.
Correct.
But also, like, eventually most people got over it and they watched the National Football League. But the.
Seems like we watch a lot of it.
Yes. But golf is different, you know? This is different.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, by getting downgraded, that's the other thing you have to take into account.
It'll probably still be an amazingly run event because so many of the people who are accustomed to being at this one will be at the other one, at least initially.
Well, it's not like this tournament has always...
We may not even have another one. Yeah.
I mean, I think about it. Most of the time that I volunteered, so in the early 2000s, like, if we got a top 10 player, that was a big deal. Now...
Yeah, I agree. And now...
Well, it's like you're also dealing with the changing landscape. I think like if we want to go and talk like who is the most at fault, I'm not really blaming the tour and I'm not blaming us and I'm not blaming FedEx. What I really am blaming is there is clearly in my mind this unsustainable inflated golf economy that was completely brought about by the Saudis entering golf because Phil Mickelson had a gambling debt.
That's all the root of it.
And he didn't want to sell his houses.
Well,
so because Phil's looking for this giant payday, he splits the two tours, and now you're in this, we have to keep our talent, and what is the other side offering, which is unbelievable money? Well, now you've started to have to spend the amount of money that it takes to be competitive and keep them, but what it's done is it's created probably this inflated sense of, oh, well, this is just what golfers make now, because that was the other thing that I noted yesterday. I have never noticed so many private jets flying over my head on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think that is a direct reflection of A, these guys have never made more money, and B, they all got private jets. And that was them on Sunday. Like, I was joking to Aaliyah, it's like, at what point do you think Rory told his caddy to make sure that the pilot knew to have the plane ready to go? Like, was it the 16th hole? The 17th hole.
Right.
And then, like, but it wasn't like, oh, I just saw one. It's like, there's another. There's another. There's another. And I'm sure there's some executives and whatnot, like, but it's like, that was noticeable.
Interesting. Yeah, no, but it all comes to money, really, is whether you want to blame, whoever you want to blame, it's come down to, and also this golf is in this restructuring pattern. But
correct.
Like, how is that impacting us locally, right? That's all trickles. And Memphis is losing the tournament as it is, as we know. We have one more year left. And
well, then there's also this other thing to square away with, which is I also don't think this is irrelevant. Yes, the Memphis is going to lose the status it has obtained. We had to have FedEx buy that status. Like, we didn't have that. It's not like, oh, we got rewarded for putting on a good tournament. In the end, it was...
But we were putting on a good tournament.
Correct.
But that's not why. Still Memphis.
In the end, it was FedEx said, do you want this... They told the tour, do you want this money to be the title sponsor? Like, yes, we do. They're like, cool, we want the golf tournament. Problem solved. Now...
And now there's obviously been some separation between FedEx and the PGA, or at least
correct.
A future separation is...
Certainly in terms of being the title presenting sponsor.
Oh, I wouldn't give a dime to him, no matter... I mean, that's me. I don't know the whole story, but
well,
if
that's kind of the other thing is you don't know exactly how bad the relationship is.
Everybody who watches golf knows what FedEx is at this point, so they can move on and spend their ad dollar somewhere else.
Well, I know this. Whatever the prize trophy is going to be, it's not going to be the FedEx Cup.
Right. Well, FedEx needs to spend their money on
which also might be a lesson. Don't maybe start your trophy with as a activation.
Yes. Because it's going to be a different...
Yeah.
Different name. It could be Crypto.com Cup.
Correct.
Probably not, but like that's the most recent example of...
The Emirates. I mean, at least they
like
did pick
an arena name.
I think if you're gonna
sounds terrible.
If you're gonna pick an airline, probably go with one that doesn't have to make money. And it's just being funded as a vanity project.
Yes, I mean, there's. That was the golf's mistake there, naming it FedEx, and obviously, you know, I mean,
I'm glad they did.
Yeah, no, and it worked out, and I want to know more of the story of why this isn't happening, because we keep, you know, speculating on, you know, it's the heat. It's the the money and stuff goes. And I would like to know a little bit more. Obviously,
I don't think FedEx, I think it starts here. I don't think FedEx wants to be the title sponsor of the PGA Tour at the price tag that the tour is offering. Now,
so they're raising the price on FedEx, and they're just not interested in paying this inflated price now. And so it's more FedEx saying no, but then
correct.
In turn,
now there are reasons Memphis that loses. They would be saying no, and there's also this argument of, should the tour have maybe worked with FedEx a little bit more, especially when FedEx has saved this tour's bacon a lot?
Mm-hmm. Where's the loyalty?
But that also would go against the fact that the PGA Tour has now a for-profit and taken private equity money.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we've got to... I mean, it was a great weekend, right? But it can't be. We can't have other great weekends like this. Memphis as a whole, as a community, we have other great assets that we ruin ourselves and don't need other organizations to ruin, whether it's Barbecue Fest or whatever that we need, that people are passionate about and or well-run, organized events every year that spotlight the city, yet we're trying to screw some of those up, and we kind of got those back on track. So there are different ways we can, you know, channel our energy on the things that – we still have and that we could still, that can't be taken away from us.
No, I do think the other thing that stands out, it's tough to just start history.
Well, sure, but in sports, I think it's not anymore, right? Like in sports, you could start history because you have, everything has changed so much that you want to make sure you're a few steps ahead when that next change happens. Like the NBA started this cup and they've got these games in Las Vegas. Like Las Vegas apparently was ready to, in the position for that to happen. And the naming of these cup, FedEx was ahead of the curve for a second to be like, let's name this cup after us. This is great. Like, what's the next evolution?
FedEx
could have had their name on the NBA's. They don't need it, but you know, What conference is the Monster Energy Conference now?
Big 12.
Could have been the FedEx conference. They didn't want it to be. They would rather have Monster Energy. Like at FedEx.
At $30 million versus $200.
FedEx putting their logo on the field at Simmons Bank. Like that was unheard of recently. But now everybody is starting to
correct.
Do that type of stuff. So it's like being a few steps ahead and figuring out what is the new thing that you can attach. I think you could. I think sports are changing, you know, rapidly, especially with NIL and college sports, that there is a way to position yourself into creating the new history.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is you can maybe create an event, but like let's use your Vegas and the NBA Cup example.
Sure.
Now, granted, that might have been different priorities, but they're moving the thing out of Vegas because nobody went to it.
Right, yeah.
But what if it's the, hey, we will host this so that we can make ourselves the most attractive candidate in expansion, which is what we inevitably what we do care about.
Like, and that's
there's always
whether
like,
that played a factor or
correct.
Not. Vegas has been talked about for a long time.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.